All right, I get rebuked every week, but there we go. Romans chapter number 3, Romans chapter number 3. That's where we'll take off from, and I do want to take my time this morning and not wear you out, but take my time and cover this and do it justice. That's right. But here's my thought. We talk about this thing. I was praying this morning, and the Lord just gave me some more thoughts while I was praying this morning. It's amazing how you can pray to God, and while you're praying, God's feeding your heart. It's amazing how that happens, but that's just how it happens. And while I was praying this morning, the Lord began to give me stuff, and I think a lot of times, or often around here, we talk about a salvation that does not doubt. We make mention often around here that faith and doubt don't coexist. We make mention around here that there is a Bible salvation that does not doubt. Now, I'm going to say this, and this is going to be on the internet, and I mean to say this, but Stennett Ballou stood up in the pulpit at Faith Baptist Camp and condoned doubting, ladies and gentlemen. In front of all them people at Faith Baptist Camp, this doctor, this man with a doctor in front of his name, stood up and condoned doubt. Well, there's never been any more of a heresy in the world than the heresy of doubt in your salvation. Because if you'll get this Bible salvation, it will remove your doubts. Amen to God. And I'm telling you, people that have doubts, they're there for a reason. God put them there. The devil didn't put them there. God put them there for you to get that thing settled. Why in the name of God would the devil bring it up to your attention that you're not really saved so that you can go get it settled and really get settled? The devil wants you to get that straightened out. The devil wants you to get that settled. The devil wants you to get it figured out and get it settled in peace in your heart once and for all that I've passed from the... No, friend, if you're deceived and you're lost and on your way to hell, he's going to continue to tell you that you are saved and give you that false peace and that false life that only the devil gives. Right. He's not going to try to get you to get your salvation settled. God does that. I will say false doctrine will do that. I will say that sin will cause that. But God, most of the time, is the one through the scriptures that puts it. And I want to cover some of that today. I want to cover this this great salvation and where it comes from. But Romans chapter number 3, look at verse number 19. I hope God lets me slow down and just talk a little bit about this morning. Verse 19 through verses 26 says, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith..." "It said to them who are under the law..." The law is for those that are under the law, ladies and gentlemen. Who's under the law? Well, we'll see. "That every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God." I'm going to say that our nation has and is trying to do away with God's laws. They've been removed from our courtrooms, the laws of God. They've been removed from our schoolhouses. Even preachers refuse to preach them anymore. It seems that most just want to shout about the day of grace. But I say to you that without the law, you cannot understand the magnitude or the greatness of the grace of God. Without the law of God, the grace of God means absolutely nothing. You can't appreciate the grace of God until you come underneath the condemnation of the law of God. You can't appreciate that. Oh, when you get that load on you, when you get that guilt and you come underneath that shame and you can see yourself as God does, when the grace of God appears to you and it lifts that burden and it lifts that weight and it cleanses you from all unrighteousness, wow, what a great grace we can appreciate in that situation. Man has removed the law of God from their eyes. That's right. Man's removed it from their eyes, and it has seared the conscience of man. You do away with the law of God, you just sear your own conscience, therefore leaving them destitute and doomed. Man becomes seared, and he walks away from the laws of God, and he can only be destitute and doomed for the lake of fire. It says that The law is there to make the world, to make the world become guilty before God. That's what the law's for. To bring guilt to the world. To show the world their guilt before God. That means that a sinner will never see his sinfulness or his need for salvation. He will never see his enmity against God until he finds himself guilty before God. Never can a sinner want to get saved until he sees his need for salvation. He cannot see his need for salvation until he sees himself condemned and guilty before God. Just no reality there. This is what the law will do for the sinner. It reveals his condition. It reveals his position. It reveals his need. And I say you cannot get born again without the law. Jesus Christ himself said, you must first listen to Moses. Amen. What was Moses was the law. He was about the law. He wrote the law. And Jesus said, you must first obey Moses. And what he said, if you're ever going to get saved. One good example of this great salvation in the law, the salvation coming through the law, is when Jesus met the woman at the well. You remember that? And he was sitting there at the well and she came by and he said, I wish you'd give me something to drink. And they had their conversation. She said, you're not even supposed to talk to me. I'm not your kind. I'm frowned upon. I'm shunned by your people. And Jesus said, but lady, I can give you some water that you'll never thirst. You'll never have to get it again. You'll never ever have these problems. And you know what? She began to hear that Jesus had this special thing. Jesus had this gift. Jesus had this problem solver, this trouble fixer. And she said to Jesus, give me this trouble fixer. Give me this problem solver. Give me this great thing that you have. Jesus wouldn't just give it to her. He didn't say, oh, okay, here, let me, you want it? Here, you want to get saved? Bam, here we go. Drop this salvation on you. Now you're saved. No, what did Jesus do? Jesus said, go get your husband. Now why did he say, go get your husband? Because he didn't just want to drop salvation on her. He couldn't just drop salvation on her. What he had to do, she said, I have no husband. He said, thou hast well said. He said, you've had five. But the man you're living with now, he's not your husband. See what Jesus did? He brought the law into the equation. He began to show her her transgression. He began to show her her iniquity. He began to show her her vileness and her wretchedness and her wrongness. And when she began to see, oh, thank God Jesus gave her this water. You know what she said? Come see a man. Come see a man. Not that just gave me salvation, but he told me all things that ever I did. He took the law of God and pointed out my wrong. This man that I met at the well, he began to show me, and I saw myself, all the wretch that I was, and he gave me this life, and it took away all of my guilt. Come see this man. Amen. Good example. Good example. See, some folks, most folks are getting a gospel and a Jesus today just to take away their problems and to go to heaven. That's the gospel that's being preached, and that's the Jesus that's being ministered in the hearts and lives of most people. A Jesus that's going to take away their problems. A Jesus that's going to make them prosperous. A Jesus that's going to give them a good eternity. And I'm telling you, bud, there's another side of salvation other than these things that people are preaching today. Amen. Jesus, amen. Jesus let her know that it wasn't for her hardships. Hey lady, this salvation ain't for your hardships. Really? Really? You're going to get saved and get out of all your troubles? I wish somebody would have told John the Baptist that. Amen. I wish somebody would have told John the Baptist, man, if you'll just get born again, you won't have no problems. I wish they would have told Peter that because he was martyred on a cross upside down. I wish they would have told old Thomas. I wish they would have told all those martyrs down through the history of the bloody trail. I wish they would have told all them people. I wish they would have woke up on Watchman Knee and said, hey, Knee, I don't know why you're over here in prison. You can get saved and get out of all of your problems and troubles. That ain't what salvation is about, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus wanted her to know this ain't just so your problems can be solved and your troubles will be over. You have to remember her testimony. It was come see a man. It was because she saw her sins and her transgressions. Hey, when I got saved, it was because I saw my sins. It was because I saw my iniquities, my trespasses. It was because I seen my guilt and my wretchedness before a holy God. Amen. Oh, beloved, God took that mirror of the law and showed me in my faith the real me. I said he showed me in my faith. That's right, the faith that I had. I had faith in Jesus Christ. You hear me? I had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believed in him with all of my heart, soul, mind, and body. I believed in the Lord. I believed in Moses. I believed in Abraham. I believed in the virgin birth. I believed all that stuff. But God, in his mercy, showed me my wretchedness. In all of my faith, he let me see that I was wicked as hell itself in my faith.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. He let me see what a fake and phony and a fool I really was. Amen. He let me see that. And I had faith in him. I had faith in God. I had faith in the Word of God. I believed it. Believe what it said. If the law is not preached, then there is no need, ladies and gentlemen, for repentance. One of the reasons why we're doing away with repentance today is because we've obliterated, we've done away, we've deleted the laws of God. You do away with the laws of God, there is no need to repent. Where there is no law, there is no transgression. Where there is no law, there is no sin. Right? Take away the law, what's the need of repentance? This whole crowd that's preaching a lack of repentance is the same very crowd that's taken away the law. You think for a second they're going to go down into the ghetto and look at them people and tell them how wretched and vile and ungodly. You think they're going to preach the law of God to them? You think they're going to sit over there and say, you have well said, but you've had five husbands, and the one you're living with now ain't your husband. You're a sorry, no good for nothing adulteress. You're going to die and go to hell because they're out of your way. You think they're going to preach that? It's what Jesus did. Amen. It rings a bell to me when you start talking about doing away with repentance, because we're doing away with the law. And one way you can do away with repentance is that's just to do away with the law.
Right.
This leaves people with a belief in the Son of God, ladies and gentlemen. Oh yeah, there's thousands and thousands across their land, and you can get on social media and watch the photoshots of people that's coming to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're believing every day. There's people that says, yes, I believe. And they are believing it. They really are believing in Jesus Christ. Really are. But then they stand up in church and say, well, I'm not sure if I'm saved or not. There's a doubt. And then the big shots get up with the doctors in front of their name, and I'd be ashamed to have a doctor in front of my name and say something so stupid. But condone doubt in the heart of a believer. God help us. This leaves people with a belief in the Son of God, but watch this, but not a belief in the gospel. There's a difference, ladies and gentlemen, in believing. And we're going to get somewhere, I promise you. But there's a difference in believing in Jesus and believing in the gospel of Jesus. There's a difference. He was talking about some of that in Sunday school. He mentioned some of this in Sunday school. We're just going to go to part B, or maybe go to another level. The gospel of Jesus Christ ain't just Jesus Christ. It's something of him. Amen. Amen. Verse number 20. Let's look. I'm just trying to get down there. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall be no flesh shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Nobody's going to be justified by the law of God. The law of God will never justify a man in the sight of God. It'll condemn a man, but it'll never justify a man. You can do all the law. You can do all that you can do. And I tell you, you're still going to come short. The glory of God. Amen. Verse number 20, he says, by the law is the knowledge of sin. For by the law, but now, well, I said, but by the law is the knowledge of sin. This is how we know that we're sinners. What's this? Zach touched on this during Sunday school. In Proverbs 28, verse number 9, it says this. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law. Now this is what the Bible said. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. I'm going to tell you something, bud. I've had people after people after people, and even one this morning, that told me, they said, pray for this or pray for that, that they will not walk into the house of God. They know they're supposed to be in the house of God. They've been preached the truth of God, but yet they will lay up in the bed and do everything. They'll go to the lake. They'll do anything else on Sunday besides go to the house of God, and trouble can hit their home. Trouble can hit their life, and they'll want to run to some Christian and say, pray for me. Let me tell you what them prayers are to those people that's turned their ears from the laws of God. It's an abomination before God. God don't want to hear that. God says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some are, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The first thing God would have is for you to obey his word, be where you're supposed to be, do what you're supposed to do, and then seek him and call on him like you're supposed to call on him. And he'll honor that. But you're not going to rebel against the word of God and disobey the word of God. And in the time of trouble, run out there and have somebody to pray for you. I'm telling you, friend, I don't even waste my time. You hear me? People won't be obedient to step one. I'm not jumping over step 10 and begin to pray for that situation. I do pray, however, that they'll get right with God, get where they belong, obey God's word, walk in his commands, and God hears our prayers in them ways. Amen. I pray for that. Well, our country's turned their ears from the laws of God to the point to where they've eliminated Jesus from his own word. Can I tell you the motive behind this movement? First of all, it's out of the pits of hell, that motive is. Because when you do this or go along with this, it takes away the authority of God's word. And he talked about it in Sunday school, changing the word of God. What is the authority of God's law? You take away from the laws of God. What? You're taking away the authority. What is the authority of God's law? God said, it's your taking on, God's the authority. You know, who said that thou shalt not? God said that. Who said thou shalt? God said that. And when you start taking away from the laws of God, you start taking away from the authority of God. God's the one that said, let me tell you something, friend. The preacher's not the one that tells you thou shalt not. Your mom and dad ain't the ones that's telling you thou shalt not. All I'm doing is repeating to you what God said. All that mom and dad's doing is repeating what God said. It's not important what I got to say, Kaylee. It's not important what your mom and dad has to say. But what we better teach our children is what thus saith the Lord. We better tell them what God said. We better hound on them what God said. That's what's going to get the job done. That's what's going to change a life. That's what's going to help people. What God said. Amen. I mean, moms and dads got some pretty good thoughts, and that's okay. Got some pretty good ideas. That's okay. But I tell you, it better be based on what thus saith the Lord. Amen. That's what it needs to be based on. Amen. Hey, folks, we should be teaching our children what God said. I'm saying that, hey, adultery is wrong not because I said it was wrong. It don't matter if I said it was wrong or right. There's preachers that condone adultery. There's people that condone adultery. I'm going to tell you why adultery is wrong. Because God said it was wrong. You want to know why fornication is wrong? Because God said it was wrong. Thieving is wrong because God said it was wrong. Lying is wrong because God said it was wrong. Covetousness is wrong because God said it was wrong. Faithfulness is right because God said it was right. Amen. Sure, I like it. That's God. The Word of God. Don't take away from the Word of God. Don't take away from the authority of God. I'm just saying that this stuff is what it is because God said it was that way. Amen. Look at verse number 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. Do what? Son, that's a shouter right there. The righteousness of God is manifested without the law. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. That's a good one. Being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God. Here's my verse, ladies and gentlemen, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now I want to slow down and look back at that phrase, the faith of Jesus Christ. I want you to notice that it does not say faith in Jesus Christ. Faith on Jesus Christ. It says the faith of Jesus Christ. Now, Brother Asquith has called me this week and he's lit me up. Tim McVeigh has called me this week and has lit me up. God has got a hold of my heart this week and has lit me up. And all three of them's been on the same thing and my heart's been in the same path. It's amazing that God sets my heart in a direction and then a man calls me and gives me something about it and then another man calls from another state. God's got something to say this morning. It's amazing. The faith of Jesus Christ. The other versions have changed this verse. Every version outside the King James Version, Michael, has changed this word. They've changed the word of to in. Faith in Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, when you take that little two-letter word, it changes the whole doctrine. When you take that little two-letter word, it has the worst impact you could possibly think of. When you change that two-letter word, it's the very thing that is destroying the mindset and the heart and the mentality or the message of the independent fundamental Baptist today. We've been into the lies of Satan. We've been into the NIVs. We've let that doctrine creep into our lives and our hearts and our churches, and it's changing the way people live. One word from of to in. The faith of Jesus Christ is not faith in Jesus Christ. I had faith in Jesus Christ and was dying and going to hell. The devil himself has faith in Jesus Christ and will never be saved, is doomed for hell. And he's got faith. Probably more so than most of us put together. Oh yeah, he's got faith. He knows, friend, he knows. Oh, don't you know he was there marching around Calvary? He's seen it. He was there. Don't you know that he was over there laughing as Pilate scourged him? Don't you know he was in the back of that judgment hall, oh, having a heyday thinking, boy, we got him now. Amen, son. Little did he know. All the other versions has changed this little two-letter word from of to in. That word change will destroy a vital doctrine in your King James Bible. It'll destroy a vital doctrine. I want to look at a few verses and we'll go eat. There's many gospels today that's being preached, but and there's just as many Jesuses being preached. A lot of them. A lot of different Jesuses, a lot of different gospels. Zach touched on it in Sunday school. And I like the phrase where he said, if anybody preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. I like that. Let him be accursed. There's only one true gospel, ladies and gentlemen, and we looked at it the other day about that glorious gospel. There's only one true Jesus. And we need to know the true Christ and we need to know the true gospel so that we're not guilty of heresy and blasphemy. That's right. I want to know. I want to know, son. Listen, we harp a lot about this salvation, this great salvation that does not doubt. We harp a lot about a salvation that's a no-so salvation that removes all doubt. Would you believe every bit of that's hinged on a two-letter word? Every bit of that is hinged on that two-letter word, of. See, faith in Jesus Christ will give you doubt. Faith in Jesus Christ will create doubt in you as long as you can live, son. My faith will falter. But the faith of Jesus Christ will never fail. Amen. The faith of Jesus Christ will never falter. It'll never come short. The faith of Jesus Christ will never doubt. Amen. The faith of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we'll get there. Look at verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. How about that? Of him that believeth in Jesus. There's two things in this passage that I notice. One is the belief of the sinner in the gospel. Sinner's got to believe in the gospel. If you're here saved today, then there was a time where you was confronted with the gospel. Nobody on planet Earth has ever been saved without first being confronted with the gospel. It's impossible. You cannot be saved outside the gospel of Jesus Christ. So everybody that's here, that's saved, was confronted with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. You heard one day that you was a sinner. Ain't that right? You heard that. And you heard one day that you were lost and you was on your way to hell. And you had to come to the place where you had to believe. That's right. You had to come to the place to where you saw yourself in that need. You saw yourself that sinner. You saw yourself in need of Jesus Christ. Right. All the ideas and philosophies of man don't save you, but it's by grace through faith. Right? By grace, for by grace, through faith. You know that it wasn't by works of, that's what Romans chapter 3 is dealing with. It wasn't by works of righteousness, ladies and gentlemen. The law is works. The law is something that we do. It's stuff that we keep. It's an action. Therefore, it's a work. You can't be justified by works. Takes Jesus Christ. Takes the gospel. That's right. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God. There's a faith here, number two, the second thing I noticed, not just the belief in the gospel, but there's a faith here that's called the faith of Christ. And I want to look at what happens when your faith meets his faith in your heart. Most of you was probably born into a family that believed in God. Most of you was born into a family that believed the King James Bible. You believed in Noah's Ark. You believed in the Red Sea. You believed all that. You believed Jonah and the whale. Believed all that. But every one of you with them beliefs and that faith would have died and went to hell without ever coming in contact with the faith of Jesus Christ. There's a gospel being preached today, ladies and gentlemen, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And people are taking their faith, and putting their faith in Jesus Christ. And they're proclaiming that I believe in Jesus, therefore I am saved and going to heaven. That's not what your Bible teaches. That's not the gospel that's in this Bible. There's a gospel that says your faith has to meet the faith of Jesus Christ to get the job done. The moment. Well, let's look at this. Turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. We'll go back and forth to a couple places. Might not be very entertaining, but I'll promise you to help you. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 8 says this, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of, through the faith of who? Christ. I'm made righteous through his faith, not my faith. The righteousness which is of God, how about that? By faith. What faith? The faith of Christ. Verse 10 says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering be made conformable unto his death. Paul said that his righteousness was not as those in the Old Testament. We are not righteous by keeping the law. But as Paul said, if you have any righteousness, it is through the faith of Jesus Christ. Hold on now, don't give up on me. The moment that you believed the gospel and repented of your sins, I'm going to speak for myself. The moment that I believed the gospel and repented of my sins, I trusted the blood of Jesus for my forgiveness. You remember that? Do you remember asking the Lord Jesus to forgive you? You remember trusting the blood of Jesus to forgive you? Can I remind you that I've trusted that again this morning? Amen. Amen. I was on my face before him this morning and I had to trust it still. Zach, God wash me in thy blood. Cleanse me, Lord, that I might be clean. I trusted the blood of Jesus for my forgiveness. I came to the place that I actually realized that it should have been me on that cross. You hear me? When I got saved, I was at the place where I literally realized I should have been the one on that cross. I might not have knew all the good terminology and I might not have knew how to put everything in. And I still can't explain to you everything that Jesus did for me that day. But thank God I'm glad it happened. Amen, son. Amen. He came sin that I might be justified. Now when I believe the gospel, this is what happened. Galatians 4, 4 through 6 says this, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth, what's this? The spirit of his sons into your hearts, crying, Abba Father. You want to know what happened tonight? Thank God that I believe the gospel and I put my faith in the finished work of Calvary. You want to know what happened, Miss Stephanie, when I trembled at the law that I spurned, when I stood before a just and a holy God, guilty and condemned, and saw myself as he did? You know what I did? I fell on my knees and begged God for mercy. I asked God to forgive me of my sins. I washed me in that blood. As I repented, God at that simultaneous time took the faith of his son and put it in me. Thank God. That's that gift. Oh, help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Do you understand that God has not imputed sin unto me, but he imputed righteousness? You understand that this faith is a gift from God? You understand it's something that God took and just gave me? I put my faith in him, but he put his faith in me. Amen. And it changed everything in my life. Listen, I prayed prayers and I got saved 1,000 times on my way to school. I'm telling you, bud, I pray every day of my life. I'm so mean and sorry and say, God, if I ain't saved, save me. I had faith, son, that lasted about 20 hours a day. I mean, son, it would run out after about 20 hours. I'd have to ask God to save me again. I'm telling you, my faith failed. But that night, thank God that Jesus saved me. He put a faith in me that was not of me. It was of Him. And ever since that night, I was a new creature in Christ. And it's changed my life forever. His faith.
Amen.
Met my faith. And it saved me. And sealed me. And it keeps me. And thank God it'll keep me all the way to heaven. It's what it does. It's what the faith of Jesus Christ does. The faith in Jesus Christ will get you about 20 hours down the road if you're a lucky friend. But the faith of Jesus Christ will get you all the way through eternity and 10 billion years from now. I'm telling you, when your faith is turned aside, the faith of Jesus shall remain. He cannot deny Himself. He remains faithful, friend. And I'm telling you, while the ages roll, the faith of Christ will stand. Amen. It'll stand. Amen. Why don't you have to doubt? Because I ain't trusting my faith. I doubt my faith. I doubt the things that I do. And I mess up sometimes and I begin to question my faith. I begin to question myself. I'm telling you, thank God He put a faith in me that wasn't of this world. It wasn't of me. It wasn't in the law. It wasn't how good I am or how bad I am. It's in the Son of God. It's the faith of Jesus. And His faith will not waver. And it does not doubt. Amen. Jesus' faith will not waver. The moment you repented and believed, God took the righteousness and faith of Jesus Christ and imputed His faith to you. The moment. That's what He did. God took the faith and the righteousness of Jesus Christ and imputed His righteousness to me, amen. Thank God. That don't change. My righteousness, mine, is just filthy rags. The best I could do. If I could fulfill that entire law, my righteousness, son, would be filthy rags. Son, if I had a halo that would blind you if you looked at it, that'd be my righteousness. God looks at that and says, that's a filthy rag. It's good for nothing, son. Throw that out on the heap. Good for nothing. Amen. My righteousness is no good, but His has made me clean. And listen, the righteousness of God being imputed to me, Zach, I never could do this. No matter how much booze I quit drinking, no matter how many joints I quit smoking, no matter how many girls you said no, no matter how good you done, no matter how many times I went to church, righteousness could not get it done. But when I met the righteousness of God, and it was imputed unto me, His righteousness was imputed unto me, and it was counted unto me for righteousness. That moment, God looked at me, and I was as clean and just and pure as His own Son.
That's right.
I was just as pure in the eyes of God as Jesus Christ, because it's Jesus Christ is righteousness.
That's right.
Amen. It ain't on me. It ain't on me. It ain't about me. It ain't what I did or did not do, but it's about Jesus Christ. It's about what He did. It's about that imputed righteousness. It's about the faith of Jesus Christ, not in Jesus Christ. It's not hinged on me or my works, but on Christ, the solid rock I stand. The old songwriters had it right. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Boy, we stand on Jesus and Jesus alone. If you're standing in your strength, you're going to fail. If you're standing in your faith, you're going to fail. If you're standing in your deeds, you're going to fail. If you're standing in your works, you're going to fail. But if you'll stand in Jesus, amen. You can't help but to stand. You can't help. You can't fall in Jesus, friend. You can't fall in Him. You just trust in the Lord with all your heart. The Bible says that every word of God is pure. Is that right? Sure it is. The Bible says that for a reason, ladies and gentlemen. Because every word of God is pure. That word of is just as pure as the word love. The word of in your Bible is just as pure and precious as in place as John 3:16. It's just as in place as John 11:35. It's just as in place as Genesis 1:1. It's just as in place as 1 John 4:8. God is love. I'm going to tell you, that word of is just as important as Jesus is in your Bible. And today we've took the word of and put the word in. And I'm going to tell you what that word in's doing to a people in America. Doing to the independent fundamental Baptists is creating a lot of doubt. Oh, they run around with a without a no-so salvation because they have put their faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. And have not received the faith of Jesus Christ. It's a difference, son. That's the difference. Amen. Every word of God is pure, and it says that for a reason, because if you change a word, then you change the doctrine. There's a philosophy going around, and Bob Jones University is one of the biggest causes behind it. Promoters, I should say. The devil's the cause, but Bob Jones and them promote it. But there's no perfect English translation. And here's the philosophy behind all that. Doesn't matter if every word's right, as long as you get the gist. As long as you get the thought. As long as you kind of get what God's getting at. The word getting there ain't very important. Hey look, I'm not real smart, just an old dumb country boy. But I can promise you one thing, you can never get to the true meaning without the right words. Amen. You got to have the right words, because one little word can change the whole idea. One little word can change the whole train of thought. One little word can go from blessed assurance Jesus is mine to am I even saved? One little word.
That's right.
Amen. One little word can toss you and tumble you. One little two-letter word can change the whole doctrine of the Bible salvation. I'm telling you, it's all about Jesus Christ and His faith. Oh, God help me. We gotta go. I believed in God, Jesus, and all the rest. But it wasn't until God imputed unto me the faith of Jesus Christ that I was ever born again. That's right. It wasn't until God gave me that gift, put that in me, imputed unto me, not my sin, but His righteousness, gave me that. Amen. See, how many times, you kind of nicked on this morning, how many times did the disciples' faith fail them? You know how many times? But read your Bible. The Bible said them apostolic powers you guys had. Every once in a while, Michael, they would run across one, and they couldn't get the job done. You know what Jesus would say to them? Oh, ye of little faith. You know what Jesus would say to them, the disciples that He has every once in a while? Where's your faith? You have no faith. Hey, listen, ladies and gentlemen. He wasn't talking about His faith. He was talking about their faith. He said, ye have no faith. Oh, ye of little faith. He wasn't talking to Himself. He was talking to them people. I'm just trying to tell you, even those guys failed in their faith. It failed them from time to time. Their faith. These are the people that literally, physically walk down the street with Jesus. Yeah. They physically sat down and ate a meal with Jesus. They physically sit there and watched Him take some fish and some bread and multiply and feed thousands of people on a couple occasions. They seen Him walk up to a blind man in John 9:1 and give him his sight. They seen Him heal the leper. They seen Him cast out the devils. And He had to look at them and say, oh ye of little faith. Their faith failed, son. I mean, bud, we don't see Jesus doing that. We got the scriptures, and all we can do is believe what the Bible said. We didn't get to see it with our eyes. We didn't get to put our hands on Him. We didn't get to sit down and break bread with Jesus. But spiritually, thank God, He'll come and dine with us. He'll prepare a table for us. He'll fellowship with us. And I'm telling you, it's as good as being there, amen, physically. It's good, amen. Real good. I've had better fellowship with him in the spirit than I have with a lot of people in the flesh. Sure. Been good, son. Been real. They saw his miracles and he had to remind them that they had no faith. Their faith failed them. Hey, don't lie about it. Sometimes you believe God, sometimes you doubt God. Just be honest. Sometimes we believe God, sometimes we take God at his word, sometimes we just doubt God. Our faith fails sometimes. Sometimes we begin to wonder, is God really going to come through? Is God really going to take care of this? Is God really going to pay this bill? Will God really heal me? Will God really do this? Will he really save my children? Will he really reach my... Sometimes we doubt him ourselves. Sure. That's our faith, friend. That's our faith. That's why people sit around and have all these doubts all the time, because they took that same stinking faith and put it in Jesus Christ and trusted that to get them to heaven. Right. Instead of letting him take his faith and wrought that in our heart. Amen. And trust him. Amen. Trust in him. Oh boy. Aren't you glad that your salvation ain't hinged on your faith? Sure. But rather the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. If my faith was hinged on, my salvation was hinged in my faith, son, I'd be saved about 10% of my life. Sure. My face is sorry. Listen to what Matthew 6:33 says one more time in a different light. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. What's that? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's that salvation, son. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. What things? All these things to be out. You think that's just talking about food? You think that's just talking about clothes? You think that's just talking about material blessings? I'm going to tell you what these things are, ladies and gentlemen. That's this faith of Jesus Christ. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And these things, this faith will be added unto you. How do you know that? Because Hebrews 11:6 lines right up with it. It says, without faith it's impossible to please God. Those that come to him must believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently what? Seeking. That's right. He's a rewarder. What's he going to reward me with? That imputed righteousness. He's not going to just reward me with a pair of pants to wear. Thank God for that. He's not just going to reward me with food and raiment. Thank God for that. And I'll promise you, ladies and gentlemen, he'll reward me with righteousness. That's where we've got so messed up today. People's just been rewarded by going to heaven, just by going. What about the righteousness of Jesus Christ? What about having that imputed righteousness? What about that fellowship? What about that walk with God today till we get to heaven? See, they've been promised heaven, ladies and gentlemen, through their faith. But between here and heaven may be 10 years. It may be 10 minutes. It may be 25 years. But between here and there, that promise that they've given me through their little salvation plan, I have a lot of wavering faith. I have a lot of doubts and I have a lot of wonders and I have a lot of questions. But Miss Stephanie... If I can have that righteousness imputed unto me and receive the faith of Jesus Christ, what does that faith do for you, son? It'll give you peace. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with you. I can have peace. I said it the other day. There's some storms that come your way you don't understand. There's some answers that you may never get. There's some questions that you have. There's things in your life. I mean, we talk about not being able to understand peace. I tell you, there's things in life that we don't understand. No matter if you understand it or not. There's a peace that goes beyond every bit of that. Yeah. And though you don't understand it, you still have peace. Yes. You still have a peace. It passes understanding or don't know understanding. Peace is way out front. Right. Well... Amen. What if I break down along the way, preacher? Listen, man. I mean, that faith, that righteousness been imputed unto me. Listen, who don't break down from time to time? But I got a promise in the Word of God. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. I'm telling you, for breakdown, thank God. Here comes some mercy of God. Here comes the goodness of God. It'll pick you up, clean you up, set you back on the path, and help you along life's way. That's the goodness and mercy of God. When you're resting in the faith of Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, give me a couple of minutes. Therefore, because my salvation is based upon his faith, I cannot lose it. Can't lose my salvation. I'm going to tell you why this whole bunch of Pentecostals has lost their salvation, because it's dependent and hinging on their faith. That's all, son. See what the difference is between of and in? In loses salvation. Of, it's impossible. And I'm going to prove it's impossible. So many people doubt their salvation all over our churches and even in our pulpits because their salvation is based on faith in Jesus Christ instead of faith of Jesus Christ. Hey friend, he is forever. Jesus Christ is forever righteous. He who knew no sin shall never know sin. Therefore I'm safe and secure from all alarm. Amen. Because I'm in him. In him. He tasted death for every man, but he's alive and he's ever alive to make intercession for us, never to taste death again. When I got saved, listen, I was hid with Christ in God. Amen. I am in him. I was placed in his body. I am flesh of his flesh. I'm bone of his bone. You understand? When you get saved, you become a member of his body. I don't know what member I am, but I can tell you I'm a member of the body of Christ. I'm in him, amen. He's in me, and I'm here with him in God. Thank God. You think God's going to take an axe and cut his finger off? Oh no, friend. It's a complete body. Hallelujah. There's nothing broke. There's nothing wrong. He's working out all the schisms. And when I got saved, thank God, I didn't put me in him, but he put me in him. He did that. And as long as he's righteous, everything's going to be all right and everything will stay right. As long as Jesus Christ don't sin, everything will stay right in place. Amen.
Right.
As long as Jesus Christ is God, everything will remain. Everything's going to stay just like it is. Amen. I'm just saying that our salvation is safe and settled in the Lord. Now, let's go real quick. Y'all ain't going to let me finish. Great God in heaven. Galatians chapter 2. Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. I've got bogged down a whole lot more than I tended to. I'll tell you what I'll do. If y'all don't mind, I'll just give you maybe another little thought here, a verse or two, if that's okay. And we'll eat and come back and finish it. Be all right with y'all. I don't want to wear you out in one sitting. I want you to listen to what the Bible says real quick and we'll try to get out of here. Galatians 2 verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Somebody tell me what a man is justified by. Come on.
Faith.
Read it all. What does it say?
Faith in Jesus Christ.
Faith what?
In Jesus Christ.
Oh, get that word right.
Faith of Jesus
Christ. Son, I'm justified because of him. Amen. Michael, I can believe Jesus, in Jesus, about Jesus, around Jesus, through Jesus, all that, until I turn blue in the face and drop dead. I'll never be justified. The devil himself believes in Jesus Christ. Sorry. There's people in hell that believes in Jesus Christ. They'll never get out. I'm telling you, that rich man, I believe he believed in Jesus Christ and denied him. Amen. I believe that. I'm going to tell you something, friend. It ain't about me. It ain't about my belief. It ain't about me believing in Jesus Christ. The Bible says in verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. Did you see all that? I said earlier, when my faith, thank God, met up with his faith, God put his faith that already had the faith and I didn't. That man said what, Steve? He said, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief.
How was God going to help his unbelief? That man believed. He had already come to Jesus.
He had to have the faith of Christ.
Amen. Had to have that faith put in him, that righteousness imputed to him. When he said, help thou mine unbelief, God imputed his righteousness to that man. To me, his name. Isn't that a blessing?
Yes. Isn't that a blessing? You was pointing something out. What was you pointing out?
You threw your Bible.
Faith in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And then faith of Jesus
Christ. That's right. My faith met his faith.
Amen. That's good. And not by the faith of, that we might be justified by the faith of Jesus Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now I'm gonna try to stop and pick back up right there after lunch. If I'd be all right with y'all, just don't wear you out. Boy, isn't that a blessing. Thank God. We're going to get it covered. I'm going to show you that blessed assurance Jesus is mine. I'm going to show you that unfailing and unwavering faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God it's in the precious blood. All right, Steve, if you will, close us in a word of prayer and say the blessing, please.